It is time for another edition of the JMRA podcast, riding along with you, Shotgun, here on Thursday morning as we record, getting you set for week number 7. Oh my God, in the NFL. We're already near the midway point of the season, and a lot of games to get to, news and notes, all the fun in the world, which we'll get to in a moment. But first, a reminder that you can check us out on social media at Joe M's Right Arm on Twitter, on the website, joemontanasrightarm.com, on Facebook as well, Joe Montana's Right Arm, search there, even Vine, all kinds of stuff. More social media than you can shake a proverbial stick at. And yeah, it's been a fun last couple of days checking out all the, I guess, non-football related stuff. You know, it's the Star Wars trailer. You know, I haven't even actually watched the Star Wars trailer yet. It was during the Monday Night Football game, but I work on Monday nights, so I didn't have a chance to watch the Star Wars trailer as it happened. And I've been sitting at my computer on and off for the last couple days just thinking, like, all I have to do is go on YouTube and hit or type in Star Wars. Haven't had the urge yet. And I'm not a big Star Wars guy, but everybody's talking about it, so you want to kind of know what you're talking about. And then, of course, Back to the Future Day was on Wednesday. I got to say, look, and this is in no offense to anybody, I find it, and it's going to come out that way, I'm sure, I find it ultimately hilarious that the Chicago Cubs were eliminated on Back to the Future Day. We've heard forever about that movie, Back to the Future 2, where they show the Cubs winning the World Series on the USA Today cover, winning the World Series in 2015, and that sports almanac that's in Back to the Future 2 is a major part of the movie. Yeah, the Cubs got swept by the Mets last night in the NLCS, and they won't be winning the World Series. So I just find that just so fitting and symbolic of the Cubs and their futility and winning in the postseason. It's just, it's crazy to me that of all days that they would be eliminated from the postseason. It would be on Back to the Future Day. That is unreal. Okay, let's get into some news and notes. So, Tom Brady did a conference call on Wednesday and talked about his desire to want to play for 10 more years in the NFL, which I found very interesting because Brady right now, if you do the math, he's 38 years old. If he plays, that would put him to 48 years old if he played 10 more years. Now, there are a couple things at play here. Number one, I can tell you one guy who won't be around 10 years from now, in all likelihood, is Bill Belichick. And if he's not around, now I'm not saying that Robert Kraft is going to get rid of Tom Brady. I don't see that quite playing out that way, but at some point, the rubber's going to have to meet the road here if you're the Patriots because, you know, look, if the guy's still winning Super Bowls, he's got to stay. I mean, I don't, like, if I'm New England, you're like, you, what are you going to do, not win Super Bowls anymore? If the guy's still producing at a high level at his age, then you have to keep him. I mean, I don't see how you jettison him. Where things are going to get interesting to me is when Belichick leaves. Because if Belichick leaves and Brady's still the starting quarterback, whoever that next head coach that comes in, he's going to be kind of weird with that. And that's what's going to be intriguing. And in fact, he had mentioned, you know, people are going to have to want him on the team if he's going to play 10 more years. Now, look, can he play 10 years from now? I don't know. I think that's asking a lot. But I'll tell you something right now. If you don't think that there's a GM out there, an owner out there, that wouldn't bring in a 45-year-old Tom Brady in Lord knows what condition at that point, you are crazy. As many teams as there are in this league that have crappy quarterback play, and there are a ton right now. This is one of the worst showings I've seen from quarterbacks. Forget about like fantasy stats and all that nonsense. This is such a porous group of quarterbacks right now. When you get past Rodgers and Brady and a couple other guys, the drop-off is the size of the Grand Canyon. It is crazy. So it sounds somewhat preposterous that Brady would still be playing 10 years from now. I don't think that's that, it's that crazy. Obviously, he's gonna. There's gonna be some stuff that diminishes over time with arm and all that, and we've already seen it with him. But wow, I don't know if he can continue to play at a high enough level to sustain that for 10 years. If he does, great. He might be the greatest of all time. And if he plays that long, I don't. It's an open and shut case at that point. He would be. Let's see. You do the math. 10 years from now would put us at 2025. So that would mean he would have played roughly 25 years in the NFL. I can't even imagine that. I don't think he's going to be around that long. But if he is, that's going to be wild. Elsewhere, Cam Newton, he wants the media to be fined for failed predictions. This is one of the dirty secrets of the NFL media. There are guys that are, I would say, wrong 70 to 90% of the time and still have jobs. How does that work? Newton's saying basically it's a merit system. If you make predictions, game-based, season-based or whatever, that you should be lauded with a bonus, little incentive for every right prediction you make. If you don't make correct predictions, then something else needs to happen to you. You get fined for not doing your job. And can you imagine how some of the stuff over the years with like Deflategate and how badly that was reported and some of the other big stories over the years that have been badly reported, how that fine system would have worked out? That would have been great. Cam Newton for NFL commissioner. Fred Jackson gets into a car accident on Tuesday. A weird story because originally it was reported that Marshawn Lynch and Jackson went drag racing. And then the cops came out and said, you know what, actually, no, that's not what happened. Something doesn't sound right there. Now, there are a couple guys, there were some eyewitnesses there who had said that those two were traveling at very high rates of speed. Now, I don't think that drag racing necessarily was involved. Somebody knows something. It's just, you read a story about a guy crashing his car into a box and then also crashing into a stop sign and dragging the stop sign along. That doesn't sound like a normal situation. So I'll be very interested to see how that story plays out because, you know, Seattle has enough headaches right now. They don't need that one. That you add that into the mix. Ugh. And with that, that's actually a perfect way to transition into talk of week number 7 in the National Football League. The action begins on Thursday night. The aforementioned Seattle Seahawks going against the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, it's just simple. The Seahawks are 2-4. This is a must-win game for them. They don't win this tonight. It's 2-5. Even the teams that aren't as good as them talent-wise, okay, will have a leg up on them. And at the end of the day, you have to start doing the math on the other side. If somebody's 2-5, then to realistically make the playoffs, you probably have to finish, what, 8-1? In your next 9 games to finish 10-6, that's tough. So they have got to be able to win this game against the 49ers. I think they'll figure something out. The defense, I think, will be able to make enough plays. They've had Colin Kaepernick's number as of late, so I look for the Seahawks to get back on the winning track and raise the record up to 3-4. 9:30 in the morning in England on Sunday, the Buffalo Bills will take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Those poor people in London will be treated to Blake Bortles versus now what appears to be EJ Manuel has just announced that both Tyrod Taylor and Sammy Watkins will not play in the game on Sunday. So that means the Bills will have a shortened stack and deck offensively when they head out to London. I'm digging the 9:30 start time. I like it. In fact, I may go out to a local establishment and enjoy some breakfast while watching the game. How about that? Minnesota, taking on Detroit on the road. Another intriguing game here for the Vikings. You know, the Vikings are kind of, if the playoffs started today, they're hovering right there on that sixth seed, on that sixth line, and they would be in. The Vikings would be in the playoffs if they started today. This is one of those games where you're going to find out a little bit about Minnesota, I think. If Minnesota is a potential playoff team, you come in here, you take care of this crappy Detroit team, and you beat them, you go to 4-2, and then you start to build that momentum. You show that you can win tough games on the road. You lose, you drop back to 3-3, and there's still some question on whether or not you're what kind of team you are. So I look at that as one of the more important games of the week in terms of the NFC landscape. New Orleans at Indianapolis. We still don't really know how good the Colts are. I don't think the Colts are very good. The one thing I will say is the Colts played reasonably well last week against New England. Not as bad as you thought they might get played. They weren't blown out as badly as many people thought they would be. I think there's some obvious issues there along the offensive line. Andrew Luck sailed a lot of passes last Sunday night, so I don't think he quite looks right. So I think that is an area for concern. The Saints, speaking of guys that don't look right, this is going to be the game with two reasonably unhealthy quarterbacks in Andrew Luck and Drew Brees. Brees, I think, is still feeling it a little bit from his shoulder situation and his rotator cuff deal. So the Saints are going to have to get their act together here pretty quickly if they want to make a push out of this. And if you're the Colts, you just have to hold serve at home, and you should pretty much win the AFC North, or excuse me, the AFC South. Houston at Miami. The Dolphins play host to the Houston Texans. That's a layup for Miami against an awful, awful quarterbacking situation for the Texans. The Jets and Patriots, probably one of the games of the day. The Jets coming in with a lot of momentum so far. The Patriots unbeaten. We'll find out whether or not this Jets team is for real, because Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to have to answer the bell in this one. Chris Ivory has been running the football very effectively. They have some good wide receivers on the outside and Brandon Marshall and also Eric Decker. This is a challenge for the Patriots, because then on the other side of it, on defense, can Tom Brady and that offense move the ball effectively against the Jets, who have Darrelle Revis and really some good cornerback play, one of the best defensive lines in football? So the Patriots could have their hands full on Sunday. I still think they'll be able to win the game because, again, Ryan Fitzpatrick on the road in your building, you have to like your chances there if you're a good football team. Cleveland at St. Louis. Todd Gurley. That's really all I think about that game. Atlanta taking on Tennessee. The Falcons, big bounce-back opportunity for the Falcons after losing to the Saints last Thursday night. Tampa Bay at Washington. Oof. That one is, that's a rough one. Good luck to anyone who has to view that game. Oakland at San Diego, one of the late games. The Chargers really want to be a good team. They just don't have the talent to do it. It's kind of sad. Oakland coming off of that just crushing loss to Denver, where they probably could have won the game, losing 16-10 on a pick six, looking to revive what's left of their season so far. And they've played reasonably okay. They'll be without Justin Tuck rest of the way with an injury. The big 4:25 game on Sunday, Dallas at the Giants, Matt Castle. This talk that Dez Bryant is going to come back and play is dumb. I don't think there's any way Dez Bryant sees a field on Sunday, and if the Cowboys put him out there, they are crazy. There's no way Bryant is going to be ready to play, or should he be even remotely close to being ready to play. You don't want to rush that guy back and potentially risk him re-injuring that foot. There's no way. The Cowboys have got to take care of him. That, I'll tell you what, though, one of the issues in that game, the Dallas pass rush. Can the Giants deal with that? Because they had some trouble with the Eagles on Monday night. The Cowboys' defensive line is no joke. They're getting back Randy Gregory on Sunday. They will also have Greg Hardy in tow as well again. So that will be a formidable task for the Giants. Sunday night, I'm considering live blogging this game. I'm not even exactly sure why, but the Eagles will head to the road to take on the unbeaten Carolina Panthers. I kind of like the Eagles in this game. Carolina, I'm still not convinced that Carolina is that good, because we're not convinced that Seattle's that good. So I think the Eagles have a shot here to win this game. Now, they're going to have their hands full trying to move the ball against that Carolina defense. Carolina's defense is pretty stingy. And then on the other side of it, Cam Newton, does he have enough weapons on offense? And I think that's one of the big problems in this game if you're Carolina. On a week-in, week-out basis, can you find the matchups to exploit to be able to get your offense some points? That's a big question mark for Carolina, not only in this game, but the rest of the season. And Monday night, Baltimore at Arizona, snooze fest. I look for Arizona to win that game and officially extinguish Baltimore from the 2015 season. Because the Ravens are done, folks. Done for. Even if they win this game, they're done. All right, before we get out of here, let's take a look at the top five teams in the NFL. Number five, the aforementioned Carolina Panthers. I have to give them credit for winning that game on Sunday against Seattle in Seattle. That's a place they have not had a lot of success in over the years, and a team that has had their number over the last few seasons. They have not done well against the NFC West, in particular San Francisco and Seattle. When those two teams were contenders, they've had their struggles with Seattle, losing to the Seahawks in Seattle last season during the playoffs and getting a measure of revenge. So good for Carolina. Number four, the smoke and mirrors, Denver Broncos. The Broncos somehow, some way, still undefeated with Peyton Manning playing just atrocious football thus far. The Bengals coming in at number three, an impressive run for Cincinnati, 6-0 so far to start the campaign. We'll see how they manage things here the rest of the way. They have some tough games coming up, but they could very well start the season 9-0. The Packers at number two. I can't fully jump on board on Team Green Bay yet. I can't do it. I like Rodgers, obviously one of the MVP candidates. He gets it done with that offense. Eddie Lacy, though, has an ankle issue. And that defense, man, I know everyone's so quick to believe that Green Bay's defense is good. It's just something, I've said it before with this team. It just seems like something always happens with them. Somebody gets hurt, and then when you get to the end of the season and you look at why they didn't win the Super Bowl or why they didn't do this, why they didn't do that, that comes into being a factor. So I'm a little skeptical on the Packers right now. I don't like any guy. I don't care what the circumstances are. Coming into my building and throwing for 503 yards against me, throwing the ball 65 times, and not turning over the football once. He didn't throw an interception. Threw the ball 65 times. 503 yards. That's a little troubling for down the road. But anyhow, number one, the New England Patriots. Still some questions about the Patriots in a couple of areas. Defense, you have to be a little worried about that back four. The secondary, I think that's still a question. And then on the offensive line, you know, that's the one thing that the Patriots have had trouble with. But as we know, we are hitting Patriots season. The Patriots right now, under Belichick, this is really when they start to hit that second gear. In between the end of October and towards Thanksgiving. So it'll be interesting to see if they can hit that stride again. And if they do, I mean, they could very well be set up for a very strong seed in the postseason. That's a weird thing right now. Cincinnati's doing well. Denver's doing well. So there's a lot of competition there. Three teams for two spots for the byes in the AFC. That will do it for the JMRA podcast for Thursday. You can check us out on social media, on Twitter, at Joe M's Right Arm. Also on the blog at joemontanasrightarm.com. Okay, I got to get out of here and get ready for work. Until then, take care, everybody. Happy football.